Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. You are an amazing God, Lord. All that you keep up with and all that you are in control of. Dear Lord, that you know not only the stars in heaven, but you know our names. You know where we are in our walk with you, the needs that we have, and you're always there, and you're faithful. In spite of everything else that's going wrong, we can count on you always, dear Lord. So thankful for what you do in our lives. We're thankful for what you're going to do. Just help us, dear Lord, to draw closer to you. Help us to understand you and to understand your will for us, and help us to be what you would want us to be in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, now for all of our sins. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And you share that what God has given you your heart and close out whatever you see there.
I clean up pretty good, don't I?
Just know that you're okay.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys, and especially the pastor, who let me speak. I got a new appreciation for what you do. I don't know how you do it. I mean, I am not stupid, and I've worked on this for almost a week. You got to knock out 3 times in 1 week sometimes, right? So, well, good evening and hi to everybody. I'm very, very prepared, but my eyesight sometimes isn't very good, so in case I stumble, it's not because I'm not prepared. I'm super prepared. But I'll be speaking on a pretty unpopular subject today, which is hell. That strike a nerve with anybody? Michaela, would you mind coming up, hon? She's going to read the Bible verse for us.
Okay, so the reading is taken from Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. Alright, so it says, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and very sumptuously every day. There was also a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, who had been placed at his gate, desiring to be fed, the crumbs falling from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's presence. The rich man also died and was buried. In haste, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham from a distance and Lazarus in his presence. So he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf, so that those who would pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. He said, Then I pray you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers to testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And 31, he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.
Thank you.
Amen. That was nice of her. She didn't hesitate when I had asked her to do that for me. Well, to make the message a little bit more real, if you can, I want you to think of somebody that you know, a friend or maybe a family member or just a casual acquaintance, somebody that you know is not saved. It'll help you to, if you can, that's fine, but it's going to help you to make this even more real to you. Maybe it's just a lady that gives you your coffee every morning. We see characters in this reading. We see Lazarus, a diseased, and Pastor, I believe he's a crippled beggar. The Bible doesn't say specifically, but he had to be carried to the rich man's home, and he didn't sit at his door, he laid at his door, so maybe he was also crippled. Then you have the rich man who, like Michaela read, lived, had everything he wanted, everything. And then Father Abraham, as the rich man referred to him, I'm sure he had never referred to Father Abraham before. Probably never said Abraham's name, except at special ceremonial worshiping in the temple. But we see three things from this script. Number one, when a righteous person dies, carried away by the angels, the Bible says that for a righteous person, when you die, it's just like stepping through a door. It's that simple. Anybody was scared when they came in here today to see the door, to go through the door? Ever been scared? No, you're just passing through a door. We also see the, at death, that's it. No quick prayer to Jesus, nothing. Wherever you open your eyes for the last time, buddy, that's it. You're done. And if you wake up in the wrong place, you're going to be well done. And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. You're stuck. That's it. Even the rich man knew that. Not once did he ask Abraham, how long will I be here? There's no purgatory. There's not. You're stuck. And he didn't say, when do I go to heaven? Because he knew. He knew. The moment he opened his eyes, that was it. And we see the sufficiency of Scripture. Like Abraham said, they've got Moses and the prophets. And I believe Abraham, when he said, no, my brothers won't listen. They won't read it. They won't do it. I believe it. That's why he ended up where he was. And he said, even if somebody came back from the dead, they wouldn't believe it. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Yeah. Jesus came back from the dead. Tons of people don't believe in him. I do have some bad news about where the rich man was. He was in Hades, which is not hell. Hell's going to be worse than Hades. Did you notice that the rich man could see people? You won't see anybody in hell. Ever. And when I say you, I don't mean you. I would like to preface this by saying one thing. The only reason I'm preaching about this today, this is the best church I've ever attended. I love everybody here. They're great Christian people. They pray. They serve God, and I'm not saying this to you because you're not doing it. It's the other way around. It's because you are so, you know, out there. It's like when they send Tom Brady onto the field, the coach says, you know, go get him, Tiger. It's a little pep talk I'm giving you, that's all. There's no hope. There's no hope. You're there and that's it. Anybody think of a friend? How they do it right now? Not too good? You know, a Harris poll showed recently that 73% of Americans believe in hell. 73. It's pretty high. Guess what percentage of people think that they're going to end up there from the poll? Anybody got a guess? 2%. 1 out of 50 people think they're going to end up in hell. That's why we're here. We're here for a reason. We've got a job to do. Most people believe that the people in hell are like murderers, bank robbers, just terrible people. But all sin is serious to God. One sin, one, would put you in hell. It doesn't take a whole bunch. Got my clock here, so I'll get you out by at least 9 o'clock. God is holy and righteous. And it's hard to wrap my head around. God is so holy and righteous. I mean, you know, people just don't understand. People sometimes ask me, why would a loving God, and he is, send people to hell? Well, the answer is God doesn't send anybody anywhere. Right. We decide where we're going, not God. We decide. He's put Jesus on the cross for us to experience an excruciating, horrifying death. And then what more could he do than that? People end up in hell because they refuse to trust in his finished work on the cross. They want to think they're good enough, you know, that the blood he shed wasn't enough, but they have to do it by good deeds. And, you know, people believe that because God is love, that he doesn't punish sin. But that is very, very wrong. I promise you, all sin will be punished. And there's two ways you can do that. You can take it yourself, and believe me, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Or you can let Jesus give it to him on the cross. Now, if you refuse his free gift, don't blame him for where you end up. It's your fault, not his. If there was any other way for people to get to heaven, do you think God would send his son to die a horrible, excruciating death on the cross? What kind of a father would do that if he didn't have to? That would make God horrible. As a loving God, he showed the ultimate expression of love by sending Jesus to die for us, because we couldn't do it ourselves. Many people create their own God that suits them. You know these folks, right? They create their own, my God wouldn't. When this happens, people are really saying, you know what, God? You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing. That's really what they're saying. It's because of pride people end up in hell. They don't want to think, I'm not good enough. Most people think, you know, I'm a pretty good person. And you know what? They're right. Most people are pretty good people. But the bad news is, hell is going to be full of people who are pretty good people. If you don't accept Jesus, that is the only way to get to heaven. You're not going to go.
Right.
See, the problem isn't God judging us by our standards. He's judging us by his standards. And he has a right to do that as our creator. Proverbs 14:12 says that there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end is destruction. Proverbs 30:19 says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life and live. God says, anyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means no way. I won't do it. No way will I cast you out if you come to Jesus. But if we refuse, we can't blame God. We're jumping into hell with 2 feet on ourselves. He's given us the way to get to heaven. If we don't want to accept it, it's not on him, it's on us. And just, you know what this kills me? Some people live their entire life not believing in God, not wanting anything to do with God, just living whatever they think is right. And then, when they die, they think, oh, well, hey, I'm going to heaven. Why would you go to heaven when you don't even know God? It's like if I went down to Mar-a-Lago and pounded on the door of Donald Trump's place and open up the door, I screamed, I'm moving in. When he opened the door, he'd say, who are you? I go, I know you, Donald Trump, I know you. You know what he's going to say? I don't know you. Security, throw him out. Right? We know who he is, but he doesn't know us. How's that friend doing right now, okay? Most people have the wrong idea that salvation is attained by living good enough. Galatians say in 2:16, man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Christ. Titus 3:2 says, not by works of righteousness, but according to God's mercy, he saves us. I think Franklin Graham kind of summed it up pretty well. If you tell somebody Jesus loves you, they're probably going to be okay with that. But if you tell them that without Jesus, they're going to hell, they see that as hateful. Instead of a friendly warning, they see it as a hateful thing. It's like if before the service today we had caught a dog that had rabies. We think we put him in the ladies' room to get him away from people until animal control got here. Do you think that we would be narrow-minded or being rude to the ladies if we said, "Don't go in there"? That's what people think when we tell them about Jesus. They think we're being narrow-minded. The scribes and Pharisees were the experts on the law back in the Bible times. They'd spend their whole life trying to obey the law. Jesus told people, unless your righteousness is greater than the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no wise see the kingdom of heaven. If we can't be perfect like the scribes, if we can't live up to the scribes and Pharisees, who would want to in the first place? I don't. But we couldn't do it even if we wanted to. What chance do we have without Christ? I just don't understand why anybody would run from God. Why would anybody run from a loving Heavenly Father that wants to save you and give you a good life? We should be running towards Him instead of away from Him. Some people ask, why did God create hell? Well, it wasn't for us. It wasn't for us. It was for the devil and his angels. A lot of people say that hell is just a state of mind. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Why did Jesus talk about it so much if it was just a state of mind? He's our Savior, not our psychiatrist. I'm talking about state of mind. As far as being in hell, I want to go back to the rich man just for a moment. Did you guys realize how thirsty he was? Now, I want you to think about Lazarus. God bless him. He made it to heaven, the righteous man. But he was a penniless beggar. I'm sure he only had one robe. He was dirty. I'm sure his hygiene wasn't up to par, even from back then, which is not anywhere near ours. I think he was crippled. He had to be carried places. I'm sure he soiled himself, and it was just dirty, stinky. And God bless the poor homeless people around here. I really have a lot of sympathy for them. But is there any one of you ladies here that would let a homeless person stick his finger on your tongue? I don't think so. How thirsty mercy do you have to be? Now, Lazarus was cleaned up and beautiful by now, but don't you think the rich man was still seeing him the way he was? Of course he was. That's why he told Abraham, hey, send Lazarus over. You know, he was a beggar. Just let him serve me. You have to be so, so thirsty to ask him to just put his finger on your tongue. Has anybody ever been really thirsty to where they thought they were just going to fall over? It happened to me once in the army. We had to go out to the rifle range that day, which was 4 miles away. So he told us, come on out, we're going to the rifle range. So I'm looking around for the trucks, because I know it's 4 miles. We've always ridden in the trucks before. Okay, lock your rifles over your head. Double time march. So we ran for a mile, but then they gave us a break. We were able to just quick march for 5 minutes. And then when you heard double time, you don't even want to hear the language that came out of those guys. It's horrible. They didn't want to do that. But anyway, so we had to run 3 miles and the rest we quick marched. When we get there, some people gave canteens out to people and we're standing in line to share. And, you know, one thing the army trains you to do is to kill the enemy. Well, if the guy in front of me would have tried to give that canteen to somebody else, I would have tried to kill him. I would have. I wanted that water. I needed that water so badly. I was so thirsty. In fact, he went, give me that. And the guy behind me went, hey, come on, hurry up, man. And he shut up. You just don't understand. I hope you've never experienced it. It's one of the most horrible things. It's just to be so thirsty that you're about to drop. Yeah, I lost my voice. Okay? You know, as immortal beings, we're going to live somewhere for the rest of our eternity. You know? You just can't just stop living. You're going to be in one place or the other for eternity. You're going to be either with Jesus or you're going to be completely alone for eternity. Completely alone for eternity. You'll never see another person. You know, the Bible talks about hell's darkness. You will never see anybody else. Could you imagine just after a couple of few weeks of not seeing anybody? How you'd be? How about a few months? How about a few years? How about a few centuries? I mean, you talk about torment besides the physical? Here's another thing you ladies can probably relate to. Sleep. There's no sleep in hell. You don't sleep in hell. There's no rest. The Bible says there's no rest in hell. You can't sleep. It's a horrible, horrible place. How's that friend doing now? The bad news is, well, actually, it's the good news for us. Unless Jesus comes out back before we die, we have a 100% chance of death. 100%. You want to? I hate this when people tell me. I ask them, how you doing today? Oh, pretty good. I woke up today. I tell them, you know what? You're always going to wake up somewhere. You better make sure that the last time you wake up, it's in the right place because that's it. And they go, oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. This is my other pet peeve. I hate it. Have you guys ever had somebody tell you that them and their friends were going to have parties in hell and it was going to be great? It was going to be one big party? I have had a lot of people tell me that. One guy told me, oh, I can't wait. All my friends are going there. We're going to have a party up every night. Ask them this. Where are you getting your information? And here's the answer you'll get. Huh? Where are you getting your information that it's going to be a party every night in hell? You are wrong. I just don't get it. They think that Satan is going to be in charge of hell, that he's going to be, he's not going to be reigning in hell. He's going to be suffering the worst torment there is there. The Bible says that he's going to be tormented day and night with fire and brimstone in the presence of God and the holy angels. That doesn't sound like reigning, does it? Does it to me? That's not reigning in hell, that's being tortured. And that's where he's trying to get us to go. Like I said, I wanted to talk about this to you guys because y'all are, I have the greatest admiration in the world for you guys. I'm so honored and happy to be a part of this church. Everybody's been so nice to me since day one. And I appreciate you guys, and that's why I'm saying, come on guys, I know you're doing great. Let's keep doing great. Let's keep telling people, because it's their only chance. It's their only chance.
Right.
And I got a few tips that maybe might help you. Five. Number one, if you're doing something wrong that God doesn't like in your life, stop. Stop doing it. I'm talking to myself too. God will help you if you ask him and you mean it. Stop doing it. It's holding you back. Number two, your prayer life. I mean, like the people in New York say, without your prayer life, I mean, forget about it. Well, how are you going to communicate with God?
Right.
You can get his input from reading the Bible, but you can't tell him anything without prayer. And it doesn't always have to be a long prayer session. You should have prayer sessions, but sometimes just a breath prayer 100 times a day. You know? I mean, we all must do it. God, could you help me with this? God, would you help that person? You know. Next is telling people about Christ. My favorite way and the most, the easiest way, when I'm in a store or I'm someplace, like last night, we went to the drive-thru at Steak and Shake. I said, by the way, I got a gift for you, I told the young lady here. This was 2 weeks ago. I said, I told her, I got a little gift for you. That gets her, yeah. Americans love gifts, especially free gifts, right? Who doesn't want to get a free gift? And they start looking at them, but what is it? Has anyone seen Chick Tracks before? This is the, to me, is the only track I ever would use. The reason being is, and a Hindu lady told me this. There was a Hindu lady at the toll booth. My wife and everybody, all my family asked, why don't you get one of those things to go through without stopping? Because I want to talk to people. I gave her one of these Chick Tracks. And if you, no, I do, I want to talk to people. I gave her a Chick Track, and a few weeks later I came back through and she was there and I said, oh, did you read the little book? And she went, you know I did. She said, I get inundated with stuff. She said, but I read this because it's a little story. People tell me that all the time. That's why I just like to read the Chick Tracks, give you the plan of salvation and everything. But if this isn't your thing, use any kind of a track. But talk to them. Another way, carry your you don't want to go to the mall with your family Bible tucked under your arm, right? I would be scared of you myself, and I'm not scared of anything. I don't want to see somebody with a family Bible walking up to me. Pull out your New Testament. First page, page 266. I go right to 266. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then I got the next page written down at the bottom, and the arrow. Okay? So we're all sinners. So what? Well, there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, Revelation 3:20, I'm standing in the heart of your door, I'm standing at the door of your heart and knocking. Open the door to me and I'll come in. You know, you talked to them, you showed it to them in the New Testament. You're not scaring them with a big five-ton family Bible. You know, just leave it tucked in your, oh, glad you asked. Where's the check? See what it says. Number five, and I don't want to get in trouble about this, but there are a few pastors on TV who are very, very good. People like Charles Stanley, David Jeremiah, Nancy Robert Jeffers, I like him. But there are a ton of them that aren't good. But try to watch the ones that are good, and you'll know in 5 minutes if the guy's a scam artist or not. I hope I don't make anybody mad, but I'm not going to mention the guy's name, Joel Osteen. That I saw on Larry King Live. And Larry King asked me, is Jesus the only way to get to heaven? He said, I don't know. Are you kidding me? He is the pastor of the largest church in America, Lakewood Baptist. I think it's in Dallas. Is it, Pastor? Dallas? It's not Baptist? Good. I don't want to be associated with that. Larry King asked him, so what kind of scripture do you like to use? And he said, you know what? I'm not really all that big on scripture. I just want to tell people how to live a good life. I just want to punch him right in the face. You've got the biggest church in America, and you can't tell somebody if Jesus is the only way to heaven or not? Are you kidding me? That's why you've got to be careful on these pastors. Like I said, it's time to get busy. Unless you don't watch the TV, don't read the paper, don't look at the computer, don't know what's going on in the country and the world. Hey, guys, it's getting close. It's getting really close. You might be the only Jesus that somebody ever sees. So we just got to, thanks, Brandon. You've been great to me. Thanks for filling me up. But it's true. You might be, there's some people that will never go to church if you don't invite them or talk to them about Jesus. That's it. I saw a movie with Denzel Washington the other day. It was called Man on Fire. Anybody ever see it? It was a good action movie, but the little girl he was being the bodyguard for, he thought she had been killed, so he was going to take the guys out that killed her. And he got some information from the one guy, and he said, okay, it's off to the next life for you, my friend. I promise you won't be lonely. Well, that isn't true. There's going to be a ton of people in hell, but you won't see anybody. You're going to be lonely. You will not see anybody in hell. It's a terrible, terrible place. Can you imagine? When somebody ends up in hell, that first horrific, hysterical moment they realize where they are. The rich man knew he couldn't get out. He never asked Abraham to get him out. He knew he was there. And Hades, the bad news is it isn't as bad as hell's going to be. Here's some of the way that the Bible describes hell. Some words. Doom, hopelessness, everlasting punishment, never-ending existence, we we really need to let people know. I know you guys are doing it. And I'm just saying, good job, let's do it even better. Well, it's 6:48, so I guess I'll wrap it up there. If there's even one person here that's not 100% sure, maybe you're only 99%. If you're not 100% sure, see the pastor or Brandon before you leave. And thank you for listening to me tonight. If there's anybody else, after the songs, we're doing songs, right? After the song time, I'm going to come up and pray that God will help me do better, because I need it. If anybody wants to join me and ask God to help you do better, that's great too. But again, I love you guys very much. Michaela, thank you for your help. This is the most awesome church, Pastor. When I got here, Pastor Anthony was a good pastor, and we didn't have a pastor between, and I was sitting right over there, and pastor was preaching, and I said, wow, I told a lady, because we'd have people coming in to, you know, check. I said, I wish he was our pastor. She turned around and said, that is our pastor. So I'm very happy about that. We're in good hands here. Come back and see us. God bless you. Thank you.
Worship team.
There are only one or two places a person goes. Help him shut that off. There's only one or two places a person goes when they die. It's either heaven or hell. My battery's gone out. Okay, you got muted. Only one or two places a person goes, they die, heaven or hell. So in between places, some people I dealt with in Romania, they said, well, you know, it's kind of in between places, and your family can help you get out of hell and get you into heaven if they have enough money and they pay the priest. But I want you to know that this man, the rich man, he died. He was rich. And he had five brothers that he was concerned about. If it were possible for him, his brothers, to have paid somebody to get him out of that place of torment, and he was in torments where he was, he would have done it. And if you want to just write the whole story off to say that it didn't happen, Jesus was the author of that story. This came from it was a parable. Because it named names.
Yes.
This really happened. Yes. Jesus told the story, and Jesus doesn't lie, and everything in this story is true.
Amen. Amen.
It's a scary thing, but it's a real thing. Only through accepting Christ as your Savior will you enter the gates of heaven. Not good works, not through baptism, not through Lord's Supper, not through any other good behavior, but only confessing your sins to Jesus and asking him to come into your heart to save you. If you need to do that this evening, we ask you to come. If any other needs you have, won't you come?